Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Hei. As you recall, we learned the Mishnah on Samach Dal and Amid Beis, and we are holding at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. And the Gemara is going to first quote a Pasuk, which appears at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. As you know, Parshas Vayikra begins talking about the Korban Hu Oila, and the Pesukim say you can bring an Oila from Minabokar, Minatzoin, and among the Tzoin, Kvosim, Izim. And then the Pasuk says you could even bring a carbon oil from an oif. And there are two psukim back to back, which our Gemara is going to quote. And the first one that the Gemara quotes, the Gemara is going to explain virtually every single word of that Pasuk, because every word teaches us another halacha, as we will see. To get the sense of these two psukim, if you look in the Torah, Ora Sholem, it's number one and number two, but the psukim are in reverse in terms of the Torah. In number two, it says, "The mina oif oile karbonai lashem." Until now, the psukim were talking about bringing an oif from a behema, bokar, tzoyim. But if instead you're going to bring it from an oif oile karbonai lashem, the hikra min ha-toyrim oim min b'nei ha-yoina. You have to go and bring your carbon from turban. In other words, you cannot go and bring a carbon from a chicken or from a toiki. You have to bring it from Toirim or Bnei Yoina as Korbanah. So that's Pasuk Yudalit at the beginning of Sefer and Parshas Vayikra. Then next, yes?
So just to repeat the chilek and the...
It's not really a chilek. The
meaning...
The psukim at the very beginning of Parshas Vayikra introduce the parsha of the Korban Oila. And first the psukim say, you can bring an Oila min Abokar, Minatzoin,
right.
And the tzoin itself, Minakvosin, from Izim.
I mean amongst the fowl.
Now we're talking about the fowl. So after all of that is over, this pasuk number two that you have there, I assume you have in your Torah HaShalei, the Minaoif, Oyle Karbon HaShem. You're not bringing it from behemoth, you bring it from fowl. The Hikram and Toirim Oyme Bnei Yoyne. The only two minim that you can go and use, Toirim Oyme Bnei Yoyne. Yoyne, of course, is doves. Toirim are types of pigeons. Not pigeons that you have here in Riverside Park. Different type of pigeon. Anyway, these are very, very small oifois. You have to bring for the tournament oines carbonoi your carbon. That's the introductory pasuk. Now, the pasuk that the Gemara is going to dwell on is pasuk number one in the Torah, or Hashalem, which is the follow-up pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. The Hikrivei HaKoyen al Mizbeach. Bring it to the Mizbeach. Umolakis Roshan, do a malika, not a shchita, do a malika. The hikter hamizbech, and be makter it. The nimtza domai al kir hamizbech. Nimtza means mitzoy. Mitzi adam over here by the carbon is, you don't do a zrika, you don't do a hazo'a, you just do a mitzoy. In fact, that is a major difference between the carbon oilas hu oif and the chatas oif, because the chatas oif you have to do both a hazo'a. How do you go and do a hazo'a with the chatas oif? The Kohen holds the oif in his hand and he gets close to the Kira Mizbeach and he gives a shokel, he gives a shake, and then a drop spurts out from the Mokum HaTzavar, goes onto the Mizbeach, and that's the Hazor. After that you do the Mitzui by taking the Tzavar of this fowl, putting it next to the wall of the Mizbeach, and Gimeg HaKvetch. And that's the Mitzui Adam. So when it comes to the Chatos, you have to have both Hazor and Mitzui. When it comes to the oil, you only have to have Mitzui. Anyway, the Gemara is going to focus now on that pasuk number one, the Yekrivei HaKoyen al Mizbeach. What do you learn from virtually every word in that pasuk? The Zokhi Mar Tanaraban, Yekrivei. The Yekrivei, of course, is a singular lashon. V'hikriv oisoi. You're going to mimakriv it. Ma tamo leimer, what is the kavana of the pasuk? The Fishinema, because the prior pasuk, which we saw a moment ago, says V'hikriv min atoyim oim bin ayoina. So I would have thought, Yochlam, it's not of oif le'yivchois mishnei pereidim. Why did the Torah have to say hikrav min ha-toirim? It could have said the hikrav toir oi ben yoina. Toirim and b'nei yoina sounds like you have to bring it in the plural. In other words, you have to bring a pair of oifois. And in fact, there are certain kabbonis that require a pair of oifois. However, what the Torah is telling us over here is, no, the ikrivai, one is enough. You don't have to have more than that. When you have, for instance, a korban, Chatas oile v'yoyred, first you bring a kizbor se'ira, if the person cannot afford it, he brings in fact two oifes. He brings either two toirim or two b'nei yoinim. So what our Gemara is saying is, yeah, in Chanami over there, Yitaken Nitu. But if you just bring a korban oila as a doirain, a present, you can even bring one singular toir or benyoina. That's why it says vihikrivoi and not vihikrivam or just vihikriv. Yes?
What's the significance of writing b'nei hayona? What does b'nei add to it?
B'nei Kol tells us it has to be up to a certain age. That if it's older than that, it becomes disqualified. And toir happens to be the other way around, that if it happens to be too young, it's disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Toir has to be, that has to be older, b'nei yoina have to be younger. That's not today. Maybe we have the next parak. We'll talk more about that. But for our purposes, we're focusing on the v'hikrivoi, don't say v'hikriv, and the hikrivoi has come to tell you one of the two is enough. You don't have to have two toir, you don't have to two p'nei yoina, even one is enough. So yochel misnada uivli v'chois v'shnei predim. Shnei predim means two. Rashi says goizoles means two pigeons, two birds. Tamalei v'hikrivoi, afilu predachas, even one, predachas yovi, even one is sufficient. Then the pasuk continues on. V'hikrivoi ha-koyen el ha-mizbeach. Says Yimar, El Mizbeach, I understand. We have to talk about bringing to the Mizbeach. Matamuleimar ha koyin. What do you need koyin for? Isn't that a dover poshet? All the avoiders in the Bismidish are done by Kehanim. So I'll tell you why. The Kvoy like koyin to tell you no. You have to have a koyin. Because Shiochel, I might have thought, Validinu, I can make a kal b'chaymer. Uma ben tsoin. Shekovalei tsofoin, lekovalei koyin. Oifshle kovalei tsofoin, and identually yikvalei koyin. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means lav dafke ben tzoyin. It really means by behemoth. Whereby kachi kudishim shekovalei tzofin, we know kachi kudishim have to be slaughtered, have to be geshochten on the tzofin side of the azar. But you don't have to have a koyin. How do you know you have to koyin? Because we know that the dinim of shchita is ksheira bizar. We had a Mishnah and a Gemara about that much earlier on, and everybody knows that then. Zor is kosher b'shchita. We even talked about noshem akshem b'shchita, etc., etc. The beginning, I think, of the second parak. So, bottom line, zokti yimar is ma ben tzoyin shekovalei tzofin. But you have to have tzofin if it's kodesh kudishim. Oila is kodesh kudishim. Shpitz kodesh kudishim, and it requires tzofin. But like kovalei koyin, even a zor can go and do the shchita. Oif shlekovalei tzofin. When you talk about the malikas oif, which can be done anywhere within the Azar, there's no requirement of dafka tzofin, and eventually that you don't need a coin. So I would have thought, that's why the pasuk has to go and say, the word el is a mistake, because the pasuk is v'hikrivei ha-koyin, that ha-koyin l'gvoye lo-koyin, you have to have dafka a coin. Okay. Yochim l'kenu b'sakin, I would think that the malika can be done through a sakin, just like shechita is done b'sakin. I would think that the malika is also done b'sakin. V'dinu ani make a kal v'chaymer. Uma im shechita shle kovel koyin. Shechita, anybody can do the shechita, even a zar. But kovel kli, however, the Torah says you have to do with a kli. What does the Torah say you have to do with a kli? So our Gemara doesn't go into it, but Rashi reminds us that Amir Tashem later on in Daft Tzadik Zayin, in other words, a couple of weeks, the Gemara is going to tell us that shechita requires a kli, and how do we know it? From the Akedah. By the Akedah it says that Avram Avinu vayikach es hamacheles lishchoit es benoi. The more is going to make over the Exeter Shava, tin hamacheles, and I think over here because it's miyachel tiyachel miyemashlishi. Mechim will get to that on Daf Tzadik Zayin, but you have to have a kli. So when it comes to shechita, you don't need a koyin, but you need a kli. Maliku, you have to have a koyin. That was the drasha that we just had. V'kriv ha-koyin. Shekovel ha-koyin. And in Dinshik v'lo kli. Avad and avad, you have to have a kli. So I would have thought. Tamaloyimer, that's why the pasuk says, koyin umolak. These two words go together. V'kriv ha-koyin ala mizbeach umolak. What does it come to tell you? As Yimor is going to darsh in another moment, it's got to be the koyin himself does malika, not through any intermediary in the form of a sakin or anything else. However, before we get to that, Omer b'kiva, until now we focused on who's going to do the avoida, and we said the avoida by shechita is normally done even by a zar. I don't know if it's normally done, but it can be done even by a zar. Mashenkan over here, malika has to be done by a koyin. But says Rabbi Kiva, there's another consideration as well, that a Zohar is supposed to stay within his 11 Amois in the Ezras Yisrael. So how does the Zohar get close to the Mizbeach? And as we'll see shortly, the Oilas Oif was made Dafka on the Mizbeach, meaning on the Soivev, We already had this in the earlier Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to bring it once again in another couple of lines. So, if a Zohar is going to do the Malika, what's happening? The Malika has got to be done on the Mizbeach, and the Zohar doesn't get close to the Mizbeach. So, why does the Torah have to tell us Koyin over here? Shetei Malika mi Atzmai Shol Koyin. It's got to be Atzmai, mean with his finger, not with a knife, not with a scissors, not with any other sharp instrument. It's got to be Dafka with his hand. Now, everybody yesterday was thinking, how can you have Malika Koyin? It's in one hand. Remember the Gemara said that you have the two feathers between two fingers, and you have the two feet between the other two fingers, and then you take the agudal, you take the thumb, to effect the Malika. And everybody was upset about the fact that the art scroll did not provide a picture. So I found an art scroll which does provide a picture. This is the art scroll on Mishnayos. And in fact, it happens to be a lovely picture. It looks to me like it's not a real leaf. Looks more like a plastic one. But nevertheless, you can see it. I'll show it to you, Brother Shai, so don't feel that you will be... he's holding the...
He's holding with his hand. Actually, he's doing it with two hands, not one hand. And he's holding... And we said in the Mishnah... We said the Mishnah, he holds it between the two fingers.
He doesn't hold it with two hands. Each hand does something else.
I didn't know it was a two-handed operation.
I was under the impression also that it's a single-handed operation.
Yeah, he said he holds it.
I'm going to show it to you momentarily, Brother Shai. You're going to have more time than everybody else combined.
It's a kash on the article, because it said it holds the feathers here and the fingers here, and then he does the Malika Lazai, you know, like this.
With his agudel. Okay, anyway, it doesn't show the actual mice. That's going to be in the next edition.
The electronic edition. This is the PG version.
AI pictures.
The picture shows both a left hand and a right hand.
Yes, 100%. And Brother Barry already pointed out that suggests that the Malika was done with two hands. I don't think that that's the case, but maybe we'll have more about that shortly. But the point thing, the main thrust of why showing it was not the one hand and the two hands, but to go and show that that's how you held on to this little oif for purposes of the Malika. Anyway. Okay, everybody's happy, everybody's not happy.
Okay. It's hard to get the bird into the...
Yeah, because it moves around.
Yeah, that's why...
Exactly.
We said yesterday one of the... three most difficult avoiders in the basement.
How did the Kohan, like, where do they practice?
Yeah,
I mean,
5 years.
Five years.
So
they're doing Kohan Shita.
Rashi and Chumash brings it. Sometimes it says by the Kohen from the year from 25 years old, and other times it says from 30 years old. So it's 5 years. He has to go to special besmedish for Kohanim to learn all of the avoiders from top to bottom, A to Z. Okay, good. Everybody happy? Baruch Hashem. Except for not everybody's happy, but at least some people are. So we continue on. Zokimorvaita. So we have now the case of the Koyin Malak with his finger and not with a knife. Amr Bakiva, he saw that, we already said that. Zokimorvaita. Yachalim Lakena. We're about five lines before the wide lines. Yachalim Lakena be Mamala be Mamata. Now, with the Mamala Mamata doesn't mean on the oif, it means on the Mizbeach. Lamala from Chutasikra or Lamatim Chutasikra. What's the din by the Oilus Oif? Tamaloimar, Umolak vihiktir. Same Posik, again, we're dashing all that same Posik. Umolak, he did the Malika, vihiktir, and he has to be Maktir, the Oif, on the Mizbech. Mahaktor Bereshim Mizbech, just like Kaktor, you do on the Marocha. On the top of the Mizbech. Af Malika Bereshim Mizbech, the Malika of the Oilus Oif, also has to be Lamala. And it continues in the Pasuk, Umasanoz Lamal, it has to be Lamal Michutza Sikra. Excuse me. Malak, it says in the Pasuk, Malak, but it doesn't say where the Malika takes place. Theoretically, the Malika could be on the Makam Shchita, in the front, instead of from the back. It says, Imora Malak is me Mul Oyrev. From the back, more or less where we wear the kesher of the tefillin in back of our heads. Who says? Maybe in fact Malika is just like the Shechita. It's in the front. Here it says Malak by the Oilas Oif. And it says also Malak by the Chatas Oif. And that's Pasuk number 3. the hikrav eisa sher lachatos rishani. We're talking about the chatos oif. Umalak es roishi du malika mimul arboy from the back. Follow yavdil and don't go and be mavdil both simonim. Only go and do a malika on one simon. That's a major difference between the chatos hu oif and the oilas oif, which we're going to discuss at some length on the Omid Beis. The Chatzos Oif, you only go and cut through one of the two Simonim. We say Simonim, we mean the Kana and Veshet. And Rashi explains on the Omid Beis, a Behema has a lot of Chayis, has a lot of life to it, and just like Chas Shalom, a human being, the way to end the life of that animal is by shechting both Simonim. However, these Oifis, their life existence and their breath and their blood supply and all that is so meager, so minor, that if you just go and slit one of the two Simonim, that's already the end of the life. You have to already call the Chevra Kadisha for the Oifis, because that's already the end.
What are the two Simonim?
The Kana and the Vesha. Kana and Vesha means windpipe and the food pipe.
The esophagus.
The food pipe is called the fancy name, the esophagus. And the trachea. Right, trachea and esophagus.
So, just a quick question.
Do you understand what we're talking about? When you shecht an animal, the two, I don't want to point them here, well, but you have the two pipes, windpipe and the food pipe. When you sever those two, then the animal dies. And when it comes to oifis, you don't need to sever both. Even just one of the two is sufficient.
Bill, we're going to have a homosechta shchita school and on it. You're going to learn more about it than you ever want to know.
Just about a couple lines. Barosh HaMizbeach. Now, is he Mamash on the Rosh HaMizbeach or is he on the...
I'm glad that you're asking that question, because the Gemara is going to, at the end of darshaning this whole pasuk, if you want to just take a quick look ahead by books. You know, you're not supposed to read the end before the beginning, but we'll allow you to do that in this case, especially since you only had second chance at seeing the picture, so we're going to give you special treatment. Yeah. Eight lines from the bottom of the Omid, lines from the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we described it all, how does it work? She went up the ramp. On the right-hand side, they had that mini ramp, and he was able to go and continue from the kevish onto the soivev. Soivev, as you know, was on the right hand side. And there he was. The point of all of this is that we're talking about Roisha Mizbech, not on top of the Mizbech, mamish, but we mean lemala michuta sikra on that soivev.
Yeah, that was, but when we did the pitch.
Yeah.
From the other corner.
Right.
And why did we have to be in the other corner?
Because traffic was heavy.
Right. Traffic was heavy. There was not enough room on that side. Normally you go up to the right and you do over there.
Right.
But that day there were 80,000 oilers being brought.
Right.
And he wasn't be able to oil on the kevish to be oil on the soviet. Yeah, so he went to the left hand side.
Even there he was on the soviet or he was on
No. There he was on top of Rosh HaMizbeach.
There was no soviet. There was no soviet in that corner, remember?
There was no exit ramp.
So that's where he threw it. In other words, normally it would be on the Sovev.
Right, and normally he would be very close to the base of Deshen.
Right,
because
so it would be easy, just a toss.
Easy toss, right.
Okay.
But on those days with a lot of traffic, then you have to have the Kehanu that have really great strength, that they're able to go and throw this Murvanoitza, which was only a few ounces, be able to throw it 30 amas. Wow.
I have a brief question about the verb Malika. So we keep talking about Malika is the parallel to Shechita, like the Torah has different words for harvesting grain, harvesting, but we're also talking about Malika as being, we talk about Shechita of an oaf and Malika of an oaf.
Okay.
When we talk about Shechita of an oaf, we talk about from the front. We talk about Malika, we talk about from the back of the neck.
Right.
But then the Gemara just spoke about Malika from the front. Isn't that called Shechita? Why is the Gemara using Malika to talk about
Shechita? How do you know Malika is in the back?
Because that's how we've defined it.
How did we define it? Because we learned it from the case of Chatzos Oif, where it says, Malika's Roish mean Mul Arpai. But if we didn't have that Pasuk, Ataka wouldn't know where Malika is. Mm-hmm. The essential difference between Malika is not only location, essential difference is here you're using a Sakin and here you're using a finger.
Okay.
So says Yomar, if we just say Malak, I might have thought, just to have it, I might have thought it's from the Tzavar, but since the other Malika, the other word Malika, is defined as Mimul Arpai, and there's no reason why I should define the Malika by Oilis Oif different than the Malika by Chatzos Oif.
Okay.
The difference also Mimul Arif. It's Mimal Halam Mimul Arif, Avkan Mimul Arif. But I have one problem, says Imar. What's my problem? Imal Alon Moilig Vena Mavdal, Avkan Moilig Vena Mavdal. Meaning, here in the case of the Oilis Oif, all it says in the Pasuk is Molak as Roishoi, period. It doesn't say anything more. Molak as Roishoi. The next Pasuk, however, The pasuk from Chatas Oif, which is number 3, there it says Umolak es roishoy mimul arpoy v'loyavdu. So we just imported the mimul arpoy location to the case of Oilas Oif from the case of Chatas Oif. That's the definition of Malika. Maybe the definition of Malika is both A and B. It's mimul arpoy v'loyavdu. Maybe that's another essential part of Malika, that you're not mafam. Mafam means that you only do one of the two simonim and you don't do both. But the Maisa, that's not the halacha of the Oilas Oif. Oilas Oif, in fact, you do both simon. And as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, the cutting of both of those simonim, since that's on the front side of the tzavar, by the time you cut those two, you've basically separated the head from the body of the oif, because there's very little left after that. Remember, the skin is gunished. The skin is even thinner than the skin that you have on a chicken. Chas v'shalom, Abul Havdil, think about a human skin. Human skin is nothing. Just give it a little prick and boom, you're ready to have a hole in it. You go to an animal and you start trying to go and cut it, it's leather, it's a heavy-duty hide. So Freyti Mariette, last of the narrow lines, first of the wide lines, once you're learning molak, molak, malalon, imul oirev, afkan, mumul oirev, imalalon, moilek vein amavdil, afkan, moilek vein amavdil, maybe the same alocha by oila, oila sa'oif, just like the chatas oif, just like the chatas oif, ein amavdil, you only cut one of the two simon, not both, and as a result, also the head is still attached. Here too, maybe the same thing is going to apply, that ein amavdil, leave it still attached by one simon. Talma Loimar says Imor Malak v'Hikter. Since you have a Malak v'Hikter together in the same pasuk, Mahaktora Horoshli Atzma v'Guf Atzma, just like by the Haktora, you separate the two by the Oilas Oif. Meaning, Oilas Oif is different than Chatas Oif. Chatas Oif, as you know, is Kula L'Koyhanim. We learned in the Mishnah there are no Emurim that you put on the Mizbeach, all to the Kan, with the exception of a little bit of blood. But from the Guf of the Oif comes the Chatas Oif, nothing goes on the Mizbech. Mashen, can you talk about the Oilas Oif? It's like an Oila, it's Kula Kolil on top of the Mizbech, with the exception of the Mur of a Neitzah. But otherwise, you put on top of the Mizbech. So therefore, our Gemara says, just like with Haktori, you separate it into two separate Haktorois on the Mizbech, the Roish and the Guf. Not that you have to split it up in terms of time, not that one is 9 o'clock, one is 10 o'clock. It means that you don't go and throw it both simultaneously, but you do the Roish on its own, and then a second later, you do the Guf on its own. Af Malika is also the Malika, the Roish is Le'atzel, the Guf is Le'atzel, which means you have to be Mavdil and separate the two. Freyti Mora, you just told me that, how do I know by the Oilas Oif that you're Mavdil, because I learned it from the Din of Haktara. Umenayin Shaktara is a Roish Ba'atzel, Haguf Ba'atzel. How do I know that? Maybe, in fact, you're supposed to be makter the whole thing, maybe you're Einoi Mavdil, just like the case of the Chatas Oif, and you put it all as one unit on top of the Mizbech. So Tumor Shnemet says in the Pasuk, the Hikter Oisai. Here it says in number 4, V'shisai Shvachnafo Le'avdil, the Hikter Oisai HaKoyin HaMizbecha. It says Oisai. Hariyaktoris HaGuf Amura. Humani Mekayim, the Hikter HaMizbecha. Going back to number 1, the Hikter HaMizbecha. So in what the Gemara is pointing out is that there are two psukim, and the two psukim are virtually back to back. One is in Vayikra Aleph Yud Zayin, which says the Shisoy Tzvachnov Leyavdil. We'll explain what that means later on. The Hikter Oisoy Hakoyin Hamizbecha. Then some pasuk Yud Zayin, and two psukim before that. That's pasuk number 1. The Krivi Hakoyin Hamizbech. The Hikter Hamizbecha. So you don't take one little oifala and be makter twice. I mean, so it's only one oif. So tomorrow you take on makter twice, because you do the Roish Le'atzmai and the Guf Le'atzmai. That's why you have two separate psukim, both talking about the very same little oifala that you're doing two haktars.
And in that pasuk it says,
before we go on, can I ask a question?
You're up to 3.
About the last use of V'dinu. I understand the previous cases of Vidinhu. I understand the Kal V'chomer. Where's the Kal V'chomer here?
The words Vidinhu, you're right, typically are used throughout the Gemara to refer to Kal V'chomers, but Dinhu also could be Gzeir Shavas. And the Dinhu of the Gzeir Shavas over here is, here it says Umalak, and here it says Umalak, so it's not based on a Kal V'chomer, it's based on a gzeira shava. Just like you have the Yud Gimel Midos of Rabbi Shmuel, one of the Midos is Kal V'Chaim, and one of them is gzeira shava. This Vidin over here is referring to gzeira shava, not to a Kal V'Chaim.
I notice in number one in Vayikra Aleph Tesvav it says Molakis Rosho Vihikter Mizbecha Vinimsa Damo Akir Mizbech. So is the Haktara of the Rosh before the Mitzvah?
Very good question. Notice that we're going in order of the Pasuk, and we haven't gotten there yet. Because the Mi'achim Nigmar is going to get to that.
Okay.
Another two, three lines, we're going to get to that as well. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so although we learn Umalak to tell you that both of them are Mul Oirev, we do not learn Umalak to tell you the din of Enemavdil. Why not? Because they have another Drasha which supersedes that Drasha. That's the Malak Vihik there that tells us that just like the Haktorah has to be in two different segments, two parts, here too the Malik has to be in two parts. What it means in two parts that you have to go and separate the two, the Rosh from the Guf. And how do you separate them? By being Mavdil, and by in fact going, severing both Simonim and ultimately the head from the Guf. That's a special din in Oilus Oif, which does not apply to the Chatzisuf. Chatzisuf, you don't put on the Mizbeach at all. So therefore, not this halach would not apply. Izokti Mora Vaiter, Victor Oise, fourth wide line. Victor Oise, Harektoris, Guf Amura, Hamani Makam Victor Mizbeach, which was in that posik number one. Haktoris, Aroish, Kosim Adabar. Now, continues the posik, Venim Tzedomoi, Elkir Hamizbeach. Zoishteit, yeah, Venim Tzedomoi, Elkir Hamizbeach. Now, it doesn't say in the posik, Venim Tzedomoi, or it doesn't say v'nimtza hadam, it says domoi, that sounds like kuloi el kira mizbeach. What means kuloi? In other words, there's no din over here of shiraim or anything like that. Here you try to get whatever blood is in it, you go and give a kvetch, so whatever comes out goes and drips down on the side of the wall of the mizbeach. Now it says el kira mizbeach, thashu nimor v'loi al kir hakevish v'loi al kir ha-hecho. It's got to be takle mizbeach mamish. And therefore, when you're kvetching it, make sure you go over to the wall of the Kir HaMizbeach. And we're talking about Lamala, since we're talking Oilus Oif. So he doesn't really have to go next to Mizbeach. He's already there, because he's doing the Malika next to the Haktorah, on the Soivit, high up. And now, after he did the Malika, Kibak Kvetch, Al Kir Mizbeach. V'loi Al Kir HaKevesh, for that he'd have to go down to the Kevesh. Don't do it there. V'loi Al Kir HaHechel, don't think, oh, I want to be super holy. Let's go to the HaHechel and do it. No, it's got to be Kir HaMizbeach. V'ezezeh, that's going to be the Kir HaElyon, the upper. How do you know? Oh, any Al Kir HaTacht, maybe it's the lower Kir. V'dinu. And we're going to go and make now over here a Kal V'Chaymer. This dinu was a Kal V'Chaymer, like David pointed out a moment ago. Ma Be'im Shekhatosa Lemala, Oilosa Lemata. This is a very, very strange halacha when we're distinguishing between the chatas behema and the chatas oif and the oilas behema and the oilas oif. You would normally think that the two should be consistent, and of course, in many respects, they are consistent. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his great wisdom, has made a major change between the oilas oif and the oilas behema. And the chatas oif and the chatas behema. In which respect, when you have a behema, where do you do the zrikas adam by a chatas? All the way in the top. Karnis ha-mizbeach. When you would think, oh, so probably chatas oif is also lamala. Oh, no. The chatas oif you do lamata mechut hasikra. The oilas ha-behema, on the other hand, where do you do the zrikas adam? You're standing on the floor. And you go and throw the blood from your mizrak, Shnaim Shein Arba, on the Kir Mizbeach down below, not up above, on the two koronais, diagonal to one another, that's where you throw it. So you would think that the Oilas Ha'oif should be similar, all to go and do the Mitzri Hadam down below. No. You have to do it up above. Why? As we state in the Torah. So the dinu is a Kavuchim. Madach Behemish Chatos Alamala, where the Nesina Saddam is on top of the koronais, all the way on top. But oilas lamata. Nevertheless, the oilas behem is down below. Oif shechatosay lamata. Oif where the chatos who oif is lamata, like we said before. Ein adin sheilas lamata and chavad and avada. The oilas should be lamata together with the oif. So I would have thought. Tamaloyimah malak vehekter v'nim tzedomai. Now this is the point that Barry was making about 2-3 minutes ago. Hekter, of course, is haktara. Haktara means you're putting it on the fire of the Marocha. V'nim tzedomi means to kvetch out the blood. Now these two are in reverse order. V'chisal al datra le'achesh hekter choizu mamatza. if you go and put the oif there on the marach and you take it down even a minute or two later, there's probably not going to be any blood left. It's all been consumed by the fire. So Ibazoi, why did it say Molach? The Hikter, and then the Nimtza Damai, it's out of order. Eloi Molach, to go and teach you. Mahak Torah, Beroisha Mizbeach. Ah, Mitzah Beroisha Mizbeach. The Mitzah has to be done. Roisha Mizbeach, it doesn't mean all the way on top of the Mizbeach. It means on the. I'm sorry? He's standing on the Soyve, and he gives a kvetch. Lamalim in a Soyve, but certainly the Malim Ichuta Sikra, and that's how we're Mekayim, the Indian of the Mitzah and the Haktorah, in more or less the same region. Ah, so now that we've gone through the whole Pasik, Mamish, word for word, from beginning to end, right? We started via Krivai, all the way to here on Mizbeach, Baruch Hashem, we got through it with all the 5, 6, 7 different drushes of Kamat, every single word. So, okay, so now let's tell us, bottom line, how did was it effected? This is what Brother Shai was asking already 5 minutes ago. He would go up on the kevish, the ramp, on the right-hand side, point of the soiviv, and now he would go from the kevish to the soiviv. To get there, you had to have a mini ramp. We had that earlier on. Small little ramp that connected, sorry?
On the six-armor level of the soiviv.
That's we'll get to in a moment. He's still on the kevish, and now he's leaving the kevish, going on the mini ramp, and now from the mini ramp he's going to the soiviv. Where was the soiviv? Points out our good friend Brother Shai, 6 amas from the ground. How did he get to 6 amas from the ground? Remember, we had our 3 frames, the big frame down below of the 32 by 32, and then that was only 1 amah high, but that's where you had the yesod sticking out, not all 4 sides, 2 sides, and the other sides, abyssal and amala. Okay, and then they put the next frame, which was 30 by 30, and that went up 5 amas, and then on top of that they did the next frame, which was 28 by 28. So by putting the 28 by 28 on top of the 30 by 30, automatically it left open that ledge that protruded. So it's not that you had to go and add a ledge to the Mizbeach. It was naturally part of the edifice of the Mizbeach, part of the construction, because that's where the, thank you very much, Amir, that's where the second level ended. Where did it end? After the top of 5 amas. But those 5 amas were on top of 1 amah, so therefore it's at the 6th amah line. On top of that, the 3rd frame went up 3 amos, so now we had a height of Mizbeach of 9 altogether, and then they added the 4 Quranis, which added yet another Amah, so technically it was 10 Amahs tall, including the Quranis, but without the Quranis it was just 9 Amahs tall. Another important point is that since the Chutz HaSikra was at the midpoint at the 5 Amah line, so the Chutz HaSikra was 1 Amah below the Soyvev, where the Kohen was standing on the Soyvev. If he was careful and he looked down, he would see the Chutz HaSikra 1 amah beneath him. Why am I pointing that out? You'll see in a moment that this will become very crucial for a machloikis, which we're going to have momentarily. So, okay, it said, he went up the kevish, and then he went point left side, and he went a right turn onto the side. Uboloi, since he was now made a right turn, so now he is close to the Karen Droimis Mizrachis. That is the southeastern end, right? Because you go up the kevish from the Dorim side, and you enter into the Azara from the Mizrach side. So that is the southern, southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. And there, Hayimolikas Roish, he would do the Malikas HaRoish, Mimul Arpa. We learn Mimul Arpa from the Chatas Oif, right? Malak, Malak. And here he's Mavdil, not like the Chatas Oif Veloy Avdil. Here he is Mavdil, both. And what does he do now? He doesn't do the Haktor yet, but Umamatza Midoma al Kir Mizbeach. He gets a kvetch on the Kir Mizbeach. That's the Mitzui.
He knows Rita.
No, that was the former Zrika. The former Zrika with the Oilus Oif was the Mitzui.
No, but
you didn't have Azor, that's what you mean.
You didn't have Azor.
Right. Chattas Oif, you had both. You had Azor, and then you had a Mitzui. Here you only had a Mitzui altogether. If you're wondering, how do we know that? This pasuk that we just quoted, the Hikriv HaKoyin on Mizbeach, finishes off, Nimtza Domai Al Kir Mizbeach, and that was what the Gemara was Medayik, Domai, Kol Domai. Because there was no preceding Hazoja, that's the whole down, whatever you have, you use that for the Mitzvah. Now the question is, where did we have the Gabe, the Chatzis Oif? So the Gemara brought a Pasuk already earlier. It's one of these, looking through, yeah. It's one of these 2 or 3 bloods earlier we had. V'yasiso, not v'yasiso, v'hiza, midamai. And then after the v'hiza, it said, v'nimtza, midomi after that, whatever was left, anisher badam yimotze al yisoidam isbech. Of course, when you're ever trying to look something, you don't find it so quickly, but we had it earlier when we spoke about the chatzos. Oif, v'izami
damai. Persistence is key.
Oh, persistence is very key to almost everything in life, yeah? Amen adam, v'hiyemelo yisatei, v'hiyemelo yisatei, ah, okay, it was much closer than I thought. Here on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, just it's facing our Amud. V'hiza is only one pasuk. V'hiza midam ha-chatos. Chatos v'hiza. Al kir ha-mizbeach. V'anisha badom. After you finish that hazah, whatever's left over. Yimotzei. Then you do the mitzoy. Why? Because chatos who? So you see, v'chatos, you have to do the both. It's a achet.
What is the difference between hazah and...
Hazah means you go... Let's assume that this is the bird in the hand. You go close to the mizbeach. You go... And you hope that it drop from the...
It's like a zrika, but without the finger.
It's like a zrika without a finger and without a kli. So just in the normal, if you had a kli for Bambahima, so a kli had the dam in it, you throw it, and then the dam spurts out of the kli onto the mizbeach, whatever's left over is left over. Here, you don't put it into a kli, you just keep it in the hand, you keep open that mokim hamalika, where there's still a little bit of blood, and you go, and you hope that you've aimed well and you're close enough to the kir mizbeach, so a little drop will come off and go on the wall. After you're done with that, then you go and take the whole thing and you go with your finger and you go, you don't shmir. You do a mitzvah, you press. You make it a kvetch. You press it, and hopefully, since the mokum hamalika is next to the mizbeach, another drop will come out onto the wall of the mizbeach. Good. Anyway, so now we discussed the fact that the person is standing on top of the soivev. The coin is on top of the soivev. So now let's get back to our Gemara.
Okay,
we already saw that. And now, since he is standing on the soiviv, and underneath the soiviv, one amma height is above the chutas ikra, if this coin is a tremendous acrobat, and he does the mitzvah dam instead of standing there on the soiviv and giving a kvetch, if he wants to bend over and give a kvetch on that same oif against the wall of the mizbeach, which is directly below where he is standing, he can do that, as long as he doesn't do that for more than an amma. To be able to go and put your arm down more than amma, that would be very difficult. All shaydus has to be by me, he can't go and sit on the soivev, so he'd have to really bend over. And anyway, so what the Gemara is telling us is, if you wanted to, Mr. Koyen, not do it standing up, boom, but bending over onto L'mata miraglov, meaning doing that mitzvah, you fill an amma up to an amma, that's also kosher, because it's l'mala michut hasikra. However, don't jump to conclusions, oh, that's a great idea, let's do that.
Fall.
That's for sure. We're talking about he's acrobatic. Yeah,
it's narrow.
Yeah.
It's only one amma.
Yeah, it's only one amma, exactly. Rim nechemi, v'rblezim, v'nyakav, v'yimrim, no, kol atzva inenasis, el broisham izbeach. You cannot. It has to be l'mala min hasoivev, not l'mata min hasoivev. Even though it's above the chutz hasikra, it's got to be l'mala. What's the difference between the two? When the Gemara says my benayu, the practical difference we've already explained, that the Tanakhama says you can do it l'mata min raglav, and the Nechemia and Elizabeth and Yaakov say it's l'mala min hasoivev. So we know what the nafkamin is. The kasha of the my benayu is, but my kamifligi, what is the basis of their argument? Are they just going through semantics? I mean, why would he hold this way up? What happens if you have a kohen who decided that he wants to make a marocha on the soiviv itself? Now, of course, you don't normally make a marocha on the soiviv, you do it on top of the mizbeach. But what happens if this, you know, after all, we're talking about kohanim that are slightly different than your normal, regular kohen. That's why one wants to bend over, even though it's dangerous, and this one wants to make a marocha. If you hold that you can make a marocha al gabi soiviv, that would be the nafkimina. What would be the nafkimina? So we take a look at the Rashi. Rashi may be nahu. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's about, if looking in terms of the Rashi, it's like halfway down the Amud. May be nahu. Kloima. B'may kemifliki. Well, what's the machlokes? Ha'al korchel t'tanikama gufei islei v'hikter v'nimtza domoi. Everybody agrees the haktora and the mitzvah have to be close together. That's how the Gemara said there has to be lamala. Dilav svir lekir le'elyon ole. If he doesn't hold of the hikdim and nimtza domoi, then how does he know kiri elyon? Maybe he could even do betachtoin. After all, we had a kal v'choimer that you should be able to do betachtoin. And for Rashi, Oisa Marocha Bafniyatz. L'tanikam, Horoit Zalasa Marocha Al-Gabi Asoyfi V'lahakter Oisa. You can do that. Not that we're recommending it, but if you decided you want to make a Marocha over there, you can. Oh, Hilkach Mitzu Shetachas Asoyfi Samach L'mok Matara. Since they were learning that the upper part of the wall is based on the fact that it says mitzvah together with hakara, this is what Barry asked before, how can you be makter before the mitzvah? You're not makter before the mitzvah, it's only going to tell you this, Russia. So that being the case, Jacques de Gemara, how close does it have to be? If it happens to be on top of the Marocha, on top of the Mizbeach, then you have to do lechoira, the malam yasoyiv, so that you be within close proximity of the makam hakara. However, the Tanakhama that says you can even do it under your feet, that's already, you know, 3 or 4 amas removed from the top. It's almost at the 5 amma level. Isn't that far removed from the Mokim HaMarach of the Mokim HaKtara? It doesn't have to be, because you could make a Marach there on the Soiviv itself, and therefore, when you're doing now the Mitzri beneath your legs, you're mamish next to the Mokim HaKtara. Not that we're recommending it, or not that we're suggesting that's what you should do, but if he were to do it, you still have a kiyum of the requirement of the pasuk, then the mitzvah and haktara have to be close to one another. So that's why the Tanna comes, that's fine. However, the two, Rav Nechemia and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, say, nah, come on, give me a break. You have to go in the Marocha on top of the Mizbeach, you cannot put it on the side. If you're going to go into the Mata Miraglov, these two Mandi Amram hold that that is so far removed from the Rosh HaMizbeach that it's no good, and you'd have to start all over from scratch, a new Malika with a new Mitzoy, etc.
So Rosh HaMizbeach includes everything Lamala, Mechoya Sikra, is that our...
And exactly, according to that Mandi Amram, according to these two.
What were you saying?
Good, so we continue on. Now, what? Everybody okay?
No.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Amir, you have a question?
So he can do it beneath his legs or not? You know, maybe
it's a machloikis. You're not a kohen, right? You're not a kohen.
So it's not yet.
Okay, so it's not your headache. But were you to be a kohen, you'd have a choice. Either to do it lamala, standing up and doing against the wall, or lamata miraka. Says the Tanakama, either way works perfectly, no problem. We give you two options. The regular option and the somewhat irregular option. On the other hand, the Yaakov said, no, there's only one way, and that's standing tall and mighty and not underneath.
The other way is foul play?
Foul play, yes. Because we're talking about foul. Isn't that great? That's beautiful.
And then the Akhtara also needs to be in the same place where you did the Mitzu and Malika, right? The Mitzu and the Azar.
Normally, Akhtara is all the way in the top of the Mizbeach.
But we said the Ola for the office and usually in the top of the Mizbeach, right? And then we said, okay, if you do it on, down, I'm
there's a difference between, yeah, no, what you're
all right, never mind, okay.
No, no, I mean, you're doing beautifully. I'm very impressed that you're really putting all the Gemaras together and, you're running with the ball back and forth. But the point is, Lagabi, the Zrikas Hadam has to be Lamala or Lamata. When you're talking about the Behema, it's not really a Zrika.
Right.
The coin goes all the way to the top, all the way to 9, 10 Amos, all the way top, and he goes to the 4 Kronos, and he puts the Sinas Hadam with his Etzpa, he goes and smears a little bit of the Dam on each one of the Kronos, on the edge of the Keren. It's one Mandi Yama that says you can even do it on the side of the Mizbeach, but right beneath the Keren. It's also good up to 3 Amos. That's up for now. Anyway, but that's the Gabi Zina Sadam. Gabi Zrika by an oil is all the way down below, and you just shoot it, you take your Mizrak, and you shoot, right. And the blood goes against two of the sides, because you throw it against the Kir, and then, not the Kir, the Keren, and then the diagonal Keren, the other side, therefore you have Shtayim, Shein Arba, all that is correct. As far as the Malika is concerned, we just said it has to be up above, near the Mokum Haktara. How up above does it have to be? Says everybody, L'chadchila, what you have to do is, you go up the Kevish, you go up to the Soivev, which is 6 Amis from the floor, you're quite close to the Marocha, not Mamish, because Marocha is 9 Amis from the ground, this is 6 Amis, but it's close enough, you give a kvetch, everybody holds that works, that's perfect, and that's why it says in the Pasuk, the Mitzvah and the Haktorah together. However, our Gemara tells us that the Tanakama is even more lenient, if you will. He says it doesn't have to be from the Sovev Ulamala, it could even be from the Chuta Sikra Ulamala. Chuta Sikra is such like a red line that went around the entire Mizbeach, and that was one Amma below where the Kohen was standing on the Sovev. So how could he go and possibly do a Mitzvah against that wall above the Chuta Sikra below the Sovev? only by bending over. I mean, theoretically, he could go all the way down to the ground. But if he went all the way to the ground, he'd have to be a very tall individual, because the chutz hasikkah is at the 5 amah line. 5 amah line is approximately 10 feet or so. Maybe a little bit less, 8-9 feet. You'd have to be one of the tallest basketball guys from Kenya or somewhere, that you should be that tall. Anyway, but normally people are not that tall, so you'd be either on top of the soyvet, going upwards, mitzui, or down below, underneath your feet, as long as it's above the chutz hasikkah. Remember, that bending over above the chutz hasikkah, that's totally in this machlokes. Where the Tanakhama says, yes, that's okay, no problem. Why is it no problem? Because theoretically, it is mamish next to the maracha. How? The maracha is all the way 3-4 amas higher up. No, you can make a maracha if you wanted to on the sove. So now I could have the mitzvah 1 inch below that maracha by having the maracha on the sove, then I put my mitzvah right underneath the sove. You could. Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov say, come on, don't give me a hard time. Maracha is on top of the mizbeach. The mitzvah has to be close to the top of the mizbeach. Putting it underneath your legs on that 1 amah between the sovev and the chutz hasikra is not a good idea, because it's not near the maracha. And no, you cannot make a maracha on sovev. Don't make new rules over here. Do things normally. Okay, so that's... And we continue on. We said, bo loy leguf, and you take the guf and you put that on the mizbeach, and you also put the roish on the mizbeach, by the oil sovev, right? It's Tana Rabbanan. One thing that we left out, because I was not in the first pasuk, v'heiser es mur'osoi b'noitzosa. You're supposed to remove the mur'ah. The mur'ah is the crop. B'noitzosa. Now, b'noitzosa is going to be a big, big machloikis. What b'noitzosa means. The way we learned it yesterday, and the way you learn it in terms of simple definitions, noitza means the feathers that are on this little tor or benyoina, and those feathers are sticking out of the skin, which is directly above where the crop is within the oif. How do you go and remove the mura benoitzasa? Jok the mura, bring the braisa, tana rabbanu v'heisim murasa benoitzasa. First of all, mura is the zefek. Zefek is the crop. And yochli yakti b'sakim yitlenu, I think, okay, just gonna take it out. Tamalim benoitzasa. Noitles and noitza ima. You have to go and take the noitza together with it. How do you effect taking the noitza with it? We'll see in one more line. Please don't be noivis. We'll get to it. Abiyos ben Chanan ima. No. I disagree with you that the noitza over here does not refer to the skin with feathers sticking out, but rather noitla, meaning take the zefek, which is the crop. The noitza korkabani ima, and take the gizzard together with it. The gizzard is the pipik. We spoke about that briefly yesterday. I was on the impression yesterday the crop and the gizzard are the same. Agmar says, no, these are two different little things inside this little oif. One is called the crop, the one is called the gizzard. For those of you that don't know the difference, I also don't know the difference. Probably the Google will have pictures of it and will show you. It's for the birds, right. Anyway, says Agmar, Veira Bishmol Tana, Benoitzasa, Benoitza Shalah. How do you take the Noitza Shalah, which we spoke about in the Tanakama? Koidra Besakim Kimin Aruba. Ah. You identify where the crop is inside the bird. Presumably those people that know anything about these Torah and Yoni exactly know where the crop would be. And he takes the knife right above that area, goes and makes a kind of a circle, like a little window into this. We're talking about, of course, after the malika. We're not talking about that the bird is alive. Sure. Of course. After the malika, the bird is already dead. And now what you do is, this is not a foul act. This is the way you're supposed to do it. This is the appropriate act. That you make a hole, like an aruba. Aruba means like a window, in the back or wherever the crop is, and then you open it up, take the crop together with the surrounding skin and plumage and the feathers which are sticking out. That's a package deal, and that's the one that the kohen has to go and throw now in the base of Deshen, where if he's on top of the kevish, it's very, very close, and if he's on the other side, not on the kevish, if he's on the soiviv, it's very close, but if he's on the other side, because there's a lot of traffic, then he has to have a good arm and throw it 30 amas like we had yesterday. But that's according to the Tanakhama and that other braisa of the Rishmol Tana. However, according to Abba Yossi ben Chonon, you don't go and take the crop with the surrounding skin and feathers, but you take the crop together with the korkaban, and you take those two. Now, how does korkaban, what does that have to do with the word noitza? Noitza normally is used in terms of feathers, the plumage. What's that korkaban to do with noitza? So Rashi says, In the pasuk in Eicha, it says ki notzu gam no'u, and the word notzu in that connection means a dover mo'us. Why are these considered to be dvar ma'usim? Because these are part of the digestive system of these oifis, and they have within them perish and dover mo'us. They have perish means what would normally be something that you would discard, the glolim of the animal, what the not the animal, the bird, when it would defecate, that would be the stuff that would come out. I know perish, you're probably thinking perish the thought. So
no, better than that.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the perish? Okay, this is a commentary on that.
Yeah, so therefore the word noitza is referring to the korkuban, which has the perish, and perish the thought of putting that korkuban on the mizbeach. That's where you take it and you throw it. So we have a machloikis, everybody agrees you go and take the crop, which is called the zefek. Machloikis, where you take together with it the feathers, or you take together with it the gizzard known as the korkuban. Fine.
I think it's like the intestines. One's the stomach, and either the skin or the intestines.
Beautiful, and I think that's a wonderful chat. Did they have ultra big and small like people have, or only have one set of intestines?
We'll see in school. We have all the pictures, the picture books.
I can't wait. Yes.
Jan Butler told me that the zephyr is the birds, they don't only have to eat on the run sometimes, uh-huh. Predators, so the zephyr stores the food, like the seeds, right, the food, right. That they...
And the stones inside, they eat stones also, and the stones help crush and digest the food.
So that's in the zephyr, and then it goes down into the...
Kukadan.
Okay, sounds fascinating, and we continue on. Shisa v'loy hivdom. Okay, so now we have a separate hivdom. Don't go and confuse this hivdol with the hivdol we spoke about before, having to do with the havdola of the two simanim b'shas the malika.
This is mavdol between the
hey, and this and that. I was waiting for somebody to say that, but I thought Shelly would say it first.
I'm sure
you want to share the honor together with others. That's very nice. So we have to be mavdol between one havdola and the other havdola. Now, what is havdola we talking about over here? So look at number one of the Torah Ora Shalem. So, we have, again, we're talking about the korban oila that has to go on the mizbeach. So, we already established that you make a full havdalah of the two simanim to the point that it's now in two separate entities. Now you have the kuf and you have the roish, two separate, and you throw one and then you throw the other on top of the maracha. Now, before you throw the kuf on top of the maracha, the Torah says, v'shisa oisei b'chnofov. Shisa b'chnofov means that you go and take this little bird and you split it open, but don't split it to the point that it's now in two separate chalokim. Leave it together, but you've now opened it up and you split it up with your hands.
So there are two sides.
There are two sides, like every story. It's talking about v'shisa, ein shisa ela biyad. When you're doing the shisa, don't think you're going to go and take now a knife to go and break it open. No, you take it with your hands. It says, by Shimshon, by Yishaseu. They were talking about not a little birdie. We're talking about, I believe, an Ari, about a lion. And the Pasuk said, I'm not lying about this. It said in the Pasuk, by Yishaseu Kishesa Hagdi. He, Shimshon, was so strong, not only could he go and throw the Mur of a Noitza 30 Amos, he was able to go and take this Ari and split it open with his hands, as if you're splitting open a gdi, a little goat.
And we said on an aleph, like a ruba, that was with a clear also with the hand.
Okay, let's look. What does it say in the Gemara?
Besaken. So he's taking a knife. I'm just trying to get the sequence of what's happening. So he opens it up with a knife, and now he takes his fingers and he tears it into...
The knife is to remove the undesirable.
Right.
Now the rest of it, now he takes his hands and he puts it...
The
according to the second one, the other. Right. When it holds it with the noitzer. With the plumage.
I'm just trying to visualize.
You're doing beautifully. It's not my fault that the arts would then have a picture, but maybe next edition. And we continue on. Loi heisir es hamurves. I know it's no good. Now, we're not focusing on that, we're focusing on the v'chuli. And that's very crucial from here till the end of the parak, till the end of the omid. We're going to focus on, it says in the Mishnah, we're going to distinguish between the chatas oif and the oilas oif. And specifically, legabi the havdola, not the havdola we were just talking about, but the havdola between one siman or two siman. And it's key to remember the difference between the chatas oif and the oilas oif. Chatas oif, it says very clearly, umarikas roishim uobra, veloy havdol, only one of the two siman, napo, only one siman. But the oil, however, you go and cut both simanim, and then after that, from the mela, the two parts of the bird are now separated, and you put them on to the marocha separately. Okay, what happens when you have a chatzas oif and you were mavdil? The koyin, either thinking he was an oila, or not knowing the halacha, or just putting on a little bit too much pressure, and in fact he cut both of the siman by the chatzas oif. What's the din? In the Mishnah we said, possible. No good.
No good.
However, we're going to see now in the Braisa, we're going to have a man the Yomah that says, Blazer of Shimon will say, as is kusher. Everybody is safe with faith in the Pasuk, lo yap. But if you were ma'avdil, we got a big machlekes here. Masita liker blazer of Shimon, the sign of blazer of Shimon, shamati shemavdil and mechatas oif. Mavdil doesn't mean lechatchil. Rashi says, shemhevdil. You don't get for that the Nobel Peace Prize, especially if you made it one piece or two pieces. But the point of this is that if you're mavdil, it's his kusha loy pasal. Fine. My benayil. What's the machlekes? And again, my benayil Rashi explains like we had back in the Omid Aleph and my kemiflegi. What's the basis? We know what the machlekes is. One says if you're mavdil, it's pasal. The other one says if you're mavdil, it's not pasal. What's the reason? And the Gemara is going to give three separate explanations, all of them going with the same gang, with the same approach. What do you mean with the same approach? In each case, the one that passes it, which is our Mishnah that says it's possible, is because it looks too much like an oilas oif. When it looks like an oilas oif, if it smells like an oilas oif, it looks like an oilas oif, it becomes an oilas oif. And what's the problem with having an oilas oif? So Rashi quotes, Rashi's about 10 lines into the wide lines. It's at the end of a Rashi, Lekamon. You see in parentheses, Daf Samach Vav, which is Metrishim, is tomorrow. What does it say? Tanan. What does it say in the Mishnah? The Chatas Oif Shaso, Kemasa Oila. You did the Chatas Oif, but you did it with the mass of the Oila. Even though you did the Shem Chatas. The coin said, but he did kemasa oila, it's possible. So therefore, now the question is, how do you define kemasa oila? Kuli alma moida, that if you are mavdil, in that respect, you are doing a masa oila. Because a chatzis, it said befeirish, loy avdil. And if you do havdola, then it's a masa oila. But all of these three terutzim that the Gemara is going to give, hold that that's not enough. There has to be another ingredient that now says, this is an oilas oif and not a chatas oif. Not only did he do the havdalah like an oilas oif, but he also did A, B, or C. Those will be the three different terutzim of the Gemara, but they all go with that same approach.
But doesn't the location this show, since the oilas oif is above the chodesh sikra, the chatas oif is below, doesn't the location already show it's a chatas oif?
Apparently the Gemara is, these three terutzim are all focusing on the actual malika, or the actual
azor. The kohen, not the location.
Right. Exactly, right. Zokti Gemara, my benayim, I'm Rav Chisda. Mitzui chatas oif ma'akev ikke benayu. Where the mitzvah by the chatzas oif is ma'akev, meaning we already established from the pasuk that we found earlier that by a chatzas you have to do a hazo'ah and a mitzvah. You got to do both. When it comes to the oilas oif, you only do a mitzvah alone. Now the question is, the kohen did already hazo'ah. He gave a shake, a drop fell onto the kirim mizbeach, givaldik. Is the mitzui ma'akev? We had a machloikis about that, and we're going to have the machloikis once again over here. Those that hold it mitzui ma'akev, because they hold that it's a two-part zrika. The zrika by an oif, you can't do a zrika with big mizrokim full of dam, so you do abisal hazor, abisal mitzui, and that's the whole thing together. Or it could be the mitzui could be looked upon like a shirayim, just like by the shirayim of all kabbanas, with the exception of the chatois apnimiois, where there's a machloikis. But otherwise, we're talking about the kabbanas, which are chitzoinois, which are done inside the azora. Everybody holds that shiori adam is not ma'akev, about it's a b'rois mitzvah. But if you didn't do it, the carbon is still kusher. Same question now applies to the mitzvah chatzoit. Do you look upon that as still part of the zrika? Or do you look upon that as being the shiori adam? Oh, that'll be the machloikis. Ikibinayim. Okay, so what does it have to do with our Shaila over here of the fact that he was your mavdil, nish mavdil? Tanakam mesover, mitzui chatzos oif me'akev. If a person if a person did not do the mitzvah on the chatas ha'oif, that causes an ikuv. In other words, it's part of the essential matir. You didn't do it, no good. Ah, v'kimin the mitzvah dam ka'ovid ma'asa oila. V'kimin the mitzvah dam is ma'akiv. You have to add the word ma'akiv. Says the Bach, ka'ovid ma'asa oila b'chatas ha'oif. Oh, then he's doing a ma'asa oila b'chatas ha'oif. What does that mean? The person has already messed up by the kohen who's doing the malika. He messed up by doing a havdalah. Remember, we're talking about a chatas ha'oif. Chatas ha'oif is lo yavdal, Rabbi Yisai. And he was mad. Okay, so what happens now? If he continues on and he does the mitzoy, then it looks just like a masa oila. Because a masa oila, what do? You are mavdil, and you also go and you do a mitzoy. Oi, see, combination of those two, it really looks like an oila sa'oif. However, if you hold that mitzoy is not ma'akev, or blood of Shimon Tzavar, mitzoy chatas oif loy ma'akev. So what does that mean? If the Kohen just did now a full-fledged havdalah, which by a chatas oif, all the other kahanim say, Yankel, you made a mistake, you shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. So what should I do now to salvage this carbon? Don't do a mitzoy, just do a hazo'ah. Don't do a mitzoy. What? Why is that better? Because if he's only going to do a zo, he's not going to do a mitzoy, then it's not going to look like an oila sa'oif.
Because it has to be a chatas oif.
Because then it has to be a chatas oif and not an oila sa'oif. And therefore, that's what Blazer Mishuman says. That's why it will be kosher b'di'evet. But you have to have this additional ukimta. In other words, when he's when a blazer of Shimon says Shemati Shemavdil Mechatzas Oif, that you can, when that if you were mavdil, it's kosher, but make sure not to do the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is not ma'akiv. Oh, so there must be a chatzas oif because all he did was the hazor. He didn't do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not ma'akiv because if he would have done the mitzvah and he did the havdalah, oy, that's an oilas oif. Oilas oif, you're mavdil, you do a mitzvah. So therefore, break it up. Just do the havdalah. Be mavdil. Just do the havdalah. Mm-hmm. Don't do the mitzvah.
You can tell by the location if it's up or down.
That was Barry's question already before. Apparently, the Gemara holds the location is not a sufficient
raya.
You're talking about a real estate.
The chatas and also an oaf has to be a malam chuta sikra.
Did you see the T?
What's that?
Did you see the T?
It's a
state T.
If the olas oaf has to be lamal mechuta sikra, I don't understand why there's even a havamina. He's down in the ritzpah of the azara. He can't be doing an olas oaf. He can't be.
That was your question again. I'm asking it with greater fervor.
I still don't see why the Gemara is not.
You see that long toisin over here, and there's tons of Rishonim Achronim. I would not be shocked if they ask you a question. Okay. But we're talking about in the actual Maisa, the Masim, not the locations now. The Masim of the Kohen in doing the Malika, and in doing the Hazor, and in doing the Mitzoy. Where can you show that this is a Chatas Oiv instead of an Oiv? So the Tanakhama says that if you leave out the Mitzoy, it's not a kosher carbon. So you got to do the Mitzoy. If you're going to go and do the mitzvah, then it looks like, it smells like, it appears to be just like an oilas oif, because you did a full havdalah and you did a mitzvah. Yay, bye, 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 bye. That's why it's possible, even b'di'evit, said our Mishnah. So the blood of Shimon, just leave out the mitzvah. Mitzvah is not so essential. And since he has done a hazor, even though he's done a full-fledged havdalah, which he shouldn't have done, that's still not enough to show that it was an oilas oif, because he didn't do a mitzvah. He just did a hazor. Oh, so it's a chatzas oif after all, b'di'evit. Rava Omar, Rava says, Shehiya Basiman Shani, for Oilas Oif Ma'akiv Ikmanai. This word Ma'akiv is Ma'akiv on the Pshat. It's not Ma'akiv Rashi and the Shita and all the Shinuyim. They take out the word Ma'akiv, the word in Poisel. Shehiya Basiman. No problem.
That was a tweet.
We love Brother Shai so much, we like to see him twice, both in person and over the Zoom.
Virtually,
yes. Kotev. Love Amma Shehiya b'simin cheni bo'ilas oif ma'poisel ikabinai. Whether or not Shehiya. Shehiya means to wait. When we start Masechta Schul and Mi'at Hashem, we're going to go and see that a Shoichit had five things which were no-nos. Make sure not to do them. You shouldn't do a Shehiya, you shouldn't do a
Hagrama,
you shouldn't do a Drisa, Metachalada, and one more thing. Anyway, the point is, certain things pasal. One of the things that pasal is Shehiya. What means Shehiya? A shoychet can go and shecht as slow as he wants. There's no need to go and shecht 1, 2, 3. If you've ever been to a shechita, it really goes less than a split second, because you have to have a very, very sharp knife. You're not allowed to put any pressure on. It's got to be simply just as a result of the sharpness of the knife that cuts through the two simonim of the esophagus and the trachea, the kun and the vashon, and that's what causes the demise or the expiration of this animal. Here in the case of a oif. So now Maseches Chulin says that if he wants to go and do a slow shechita, that's all right, just don't put pressure. He wants to go slowly and surely. Okay, you can spend all day one shechita. However, once he shechted the first of the two simanim, I think the kun is in the front, doesn't make a difference. As soon as he shechted that one, he shouldn't go and say, okay, Rabbi, I'm going to be coming back in a moment. I'm going to be taking a coffee break. I'm going to go and use almond milk, so it won't be a problem of flight chicks and milk chicks at the same time. And I'm going to be back. And just wait for me. No. Shehiya pasled. What's the Zaman Shehiya? We'll get to Masechtas Chul. But the point is, Shehiya pasled by Shechita of Ebhaim. The question is, does Shehiya also pasle when you're doing a Malika, assuming that you're doing a full Havdalah? Because if you're only doing one siman,
there's no shehiya at all.
No shehiya at all, or you have shehiya for the next 10 hours.
It doesn't matter.
You don't get to the second siman. But in the case where you're doing both simanim, which is of course the oilat oif, and he mistakenly by the chatas oif did both simanim, what happens if he took a break between siman rishon and siman shein?
How could it be posel? It's not needed. The question's.
So what Rashi addresses your question,
yeah.
And Rashi says, the question is, that the Odesa Oif requires both Simanim, is that because that's the quote-unquote Shechita by the Odesa Oif, that it's a Malika of two Simanim, and therefore it's essential to a kosher Malika that you have to do both, or the essential Malika is the first Simon, whether it's a Chatas Oif or the Odesa Oif. That you do the second Simon by the Odesa Oif, the Jemavdol, is just an additional mitzvah, similar to the same concept of the Shiari Hadam. Yeah, Vadi, you have to do Shiari Adam, Shteitach in the Torah. Did you have the Yishpoi Chayisoidam Mizbeach? For sure. However, what if you didn't do it? It was just an additional mitzvah that you missed and you messed up. It's unfortunate. So the Gemara is saying now the same thing applies to this other side. The Shehiyah between Simon 1 and Simon 2, does that ruin it? Does that parcel the other side? Ikabinah. Tanakam is Saba. Shehiyah, the Simon Sheni by the side. Loi poisel, loi pasla, it does not pasel. The avgab the shehiya, even though he made a shehiya between simon aleph and simon beis, the two simonim, ka'ovid masa oila bechatas. By doing that shehiya in between, since it doesn't pasel, so then he is done by an oila, you could have done a shehiya between number one and number two. Why? Because number two is not essentially part of the Maisa of Malika, it's rather just an additional mitzvah. So you could do a Shehiyah. So here too, in our case, of the Malika that you did by the Chatzos Oif, what happens if Yitaka did a, you were Mavdul both, against the territory of Loi Avdul, however you did a Shehiyah in between. So what's the din? The first man, the Yom of the Tanakhama, says it doesn't passel. Since it doesn't passel, Avgav the Shehiyah, even though he made a Shehiyah between first part of the Malika and the second, in other words, by the first Simon and second Simon, that's like a Masa Oila Bechatzos, because by an Oila you can do that. The Shehiyah by the Oila Sa'oif is Loi Pasla, since it doesn't Pasla, even though here the person did that Shehiyah, not necessarily, not even, because he did a Shehiyah between the first Simon and the second Simon by the Chatzos Oif, it looks like he's doing an oila sa'oif, because an oila sa'oif, that's the way you do it. You have a shehiyah between the first simon and the second simon. So you can confuse it. That's why our Mishnah says that it's possible. However, Lazar Rav Shabbat and Sovar, Ma'akiv. No, sorry, thank you. Sovar, Poiselis. Rashi uses the term loy pasla, pasla. So it does pasla. Since it does pasla, if you had a shehiyah between the first simon and the second simon, the whole thing is pasla. So now, in our case, by the Chatas, if during the Malika he's mavdul both, but he did a shehiyah in the middle, nobody's going to go and say he did a masa oila sa'oif, because an oila sa'oif with a shehiyah in the middle between the first and the second simon would be possible. Oh, of course, we want to be machshir this. So we're saying the reason why it's kosher because it's a chatzasoyv, not an oilasoyv. By an oilasoyv, it would have to be machshir. By the chatzasoyv, it's not machshir because chatzasoyv, you shouldn't have gone beyond the first simon anyway. So the shihir could be an hour. Makes no difference because you don't need to do the second simon. When you did the second simon, what was that? Because the shihir, since it was a shihir, machatar was ba'almahu. It's just that the coin, if you will, in, with a gun, you would say he was trigger happy, and he gave another shot. He got carried away. His Malika got it was a little bit too much pressure, a little bit too strong. Oh, and that's why he cut it. So it was not intended to go and convert this from a chatzis oif to an oilis oif. He meant the whole time a chatzis oif. Why did you do the full pressure? He got carried away, and therefore that's why b'chat. But the fact that it was a shahir in between, that's okay, because when Tomer Chatzis Oif, it wasn't supposed to be the second simon anyway. And if since by a Korban Oilis Oif, that Shehiyah would have passed, when he does the Shehiyah over here now, nobody suspects that he's doing an Oilis Oif, because of the fact, if we know Oilis Oif, he'll be passed. Musa signed that it's a Chatzis Oif, and therefore Shehiyah doesn't make a difference. And the fact that he cuts further afterwards, no, good sight. He decided to try out his finger to see whether he's doing a good job in his cutting with his stock.
The first Manda Amar who said that the Shehiyah by an Olas and Oaf, the Shehiyah would pasul.
That's the second. That's from those of Shimon. The Tanakhama says Shehiyah is Simsheni loy pasul. Tanakhama says Shehiyah is Simsheni loy does not pasul.
So, according to one says apostles, why is apostle if it's a Shehiyah?
Just like Baba Haim is apostle, so by Baba Haim is apostle.
By we're talking about chatzis oif. By the way, by a bird also, only one simon is required.
Of course, that's what we keep on saying. Okay. To go and to take the lifeline.
Why is apostle
by shechita?
Why is in this case of a chatzis oif mistakenly being done like an olas and oif? Why does the shehiyah apostle?
It doesn't. The Gemara says shehiyah b'simishin ba'olas oif is the machlokes. When you have an oil, you're supposed to go and cut both of them.
Okay.
Is the cutting of the second one? It's not necessary, says Rashi, to go and terminate the life of this oif. One accomplishes that perfectly.
Right.
But just like by Shechita, there's halacha on what you're seeing, that you have to have that a shehiyah pasuls. Do you say that same halacha legabi oilas oif, even though it has nothing to do with the lifeline of this oif? After the first seven, the oif is dead. I wouldn't say it's a dead goose, but it's only a dead fowl. So it's done. What's the reason why you're doing the second sin? Because the Torah says you got to do the second sin. Is that now part and parcel the essential core of the Malika?
Of the Malika / Shechita? No.
Or is it just happen to be a separate halacha? Besides going and doing the Malika on simon number one, you got to do on simon number two. But it's not ma'akiv, having the Shia in between, because it's just a separate mitzvah. Just like by the Shvichas Adam by a regular carbon. It doesn't have to be done. Take it from the out. If you have a shia of an hour before the Zrika Saddam and the Shvicha Shirai, there's no problem. So here too, there's no problem. So the Tanakhama that holds the Shehiyah B'Simen Sheni, but Oilas Oif doesn't passel. So it's still a kosher Oilas Oif, even though there's a Shehiyah in between.
Actually, that would condemn this Chatas Oif to look too much like an Oilas Oif.
Exactly.
I got it. Thank you.
So that's Reb Elazar B'Shimon. Reb Elazar B'Shimon saw that it does passel. And therefore, if he did a shehiyah in between,
it's too much like an olas and oaf, and therefore it is.
No, one said the other way around. Since it does pasul, so by an oilas oif, you would never have such a shehiyah. If you have a shehiyah over here, it shows you because basically, after his first simon, I'm done. I was mekayim the lo yavdil.
Right.
I only did one. I did a shehiyah after that. Why did I subsequently continue on Mechatar Bas? Because I decided Mechatar Bas Ba'ama. But it wasn't part of the Malika. Because Malika already ended after my first Simon. Right. Done. If you is, so according to Blazer Reb Shimon that holds that it passels by the Oilas Oif, if you had the Shehiyah, so this cannot be an Oilas Oif. Because it was a Shehiyah 5 minutes, I'm just throwing out an example, between Simon 1 and Simon 2. Nobody in his right mind is going to say, Oilas Oif, mister, because you were Mavdil both. I was talking Mavdil both.
Tolerance in Chatas Oif is so much stronger because you're not Mavdil.
Exactly. And so what he's saying is, by the fact that there was a Shehiyah in between, which would be also condemned by one and all in the United Nations and elsewhere from Achan the Shia by the Oyla Sa'if. So this could not have been an Oyla Sa'if.
So there's no mistake in it. There's no,
and therefore, by default, it's got to be a Chatzos Oyf. And that's why it's kosher. Masha'in Kinutanakam said that the Shehiyah B'Simon Sheni does not passel. So the fact that I waited between first Simon and second Simon.
It could be an Oyla Sa'if and still be kosher. Therefore, as a Chatzos Oyf, it's possible.
That's why it's possible, since it could be viewed by onlookers as being an oyla sa'if.
And who's going to see up, I mean, especially since the Kohen standing in the
room? Well, there's a Philip Echad B'Chador, even though nobody's looking. That was pshat number two. Pshat number three is very, very similar. Abaye Omer Roiv Basim Akev Ike Benayim. What does that mean? When you are doing the Malika on the Simonim, especially on Simon 1, do you have to do at the same time a mechatech of basar, of the roiv basar, which is next to that simon? By shechita, of course, it all goes with the knife. Here we're doing malika with the fingernail. How far does he have to go in severing that first simon? Is it just the first simon alone, or together with the roiv basar as one? And is
it really difficult, because how do you cut off the roiv basar without doing the other simon?
I'm not in that business, but apparently you learn 5 years.
You never will be, because you're not a kohen.
Exactly. Unless afterwards Tish B'Atayis will come and say that really was it. Okay, now, my name was Cohen 3 generations ago, and they had to change it because of the war, that happened, whatever it is. So what's the nafkimina over here? So it's the same thing, Roiv Basar Ma'akev. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, which is 4 lines in. Everybody hold Shiba Oila, but Simon Sheni is Pasul. Everybody hold Pasul, if you have that Shia. Vachalakev, please. The Tanakama Chitach Roiv Basar B'chatas Loi Ma'akev. Doing the Chitach Roiv Basar is not Ma'akev. That what the Afagav the Eloi, you have to add the word Afagav from the Bach. Afagav the Eloi Ma'chatach Loi, even if he doesn't do that Chitach Basar, it's not Ma'akev. The Yamris Mavdil, if he is Mavdil both, Ovid Le Shnei Simonim, Beloi Shehia. V'yesh kan ma'asa oyla. It looks like a ma'asa oyla. We'll come back to Tanakam in a moment. Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon Sover, Roiv Basar B'chatas is ma'akev. V'chati chosoy acher simon rishen hu. You have to go and cut off that Roiv Basar after the first simon. Kimon do yisagi b'loi shehir bin tayim. So to cut out that additional Roiv Basar, by definition, that's going to involve a certain shehir between simon 1 and simon 2. V'kimon do yisagi b'loi shehir. You have to, Roiv Basar, cutting it out is ma'akiv. You have to do it. Because we said at the beginning of the Rashi, Kuli Alma Shehiyah B'Oila B'Simon Sheni Pasla. Ah, so Rabbi Yisai, he's cutting now that first simon, and he's cutting out the Roiv Basar. What are you doing, Roiv Basar, if this happens to be
a chatas
or an oila?
If it's an oila, it would be pasl.
Yeah, oila would be pasl. You're doing an oila. I know you're doing an oila because I saw that afterwards you cut that second simon. It looks like an oila. And we tell him, no, you shmata cup. You don't know what you're talking about. If this would have been.
Remember where you're standing, it should be a chatas.
You're going back to location.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, you're fixated on that location business. But we're not talking about that now.
Yes.
But he says, Kimon Le'Sagav Le'Shia, since you are by definition making a Shia, and everybody in this third Teretz holds that Shia Ba'oila B'Simon Sheni, Pasla, so this cannot go and be a carbon Oila, because that Pasla, you have the Shia in between. Says the Tanakama, I have an idea. Don't go and do the cutting of that Roiv Basar, because it's not Ma'akev. Since it's not Ma'akev, then I'm going to go and do the two simon without a shehir in between. It's going to look mamish like the oyla sa'oif. It's going to look like an oyla sa'oif, says our Tanakam of our Mishnah. Oyla sa'oif that you did, a chata sa'oif that you did, kemasa oyla sa'oif, that passels it. Says Rabbi Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't passel, because everybody will notice that this is not a masa oyla by the fact that there happens to be a shehir in time with the roiv basar. You got to do the roiv basar. Since you have to do the rabbis, there's going to be a shehia between Simon 1 and Simon 2. And since a shehia by an oyla sa'oif passed, everybody will realize it's a nishkan oyla. This is the chachat sa'oif. Says the Tanakam, and no, you don't have to take out that roiv basar. Leave it after everything is finished. You'll do that roiv basar. You don't need to do it now. So there won't be a shehia in between. If there won't be a shehia in between, so it's like doing the two simonim one after the other, right together, which is just like an oyla sa'oif. Oyla sa'oif, it's basar. That's why they have enough community between the Tanakama and Reb Lozer B'Reb Shimon. Now the Gemara combines those last two pshatim. U'biplutet Reb Zeir Reb Shimon Bar Av Yitzchak. The machlokes between Abaye and Rava, whether the basis of the machloikis between Tanakam and Rebbelezer. Reb Shimon, Rava said what the Shehiyah B'Simon Cheni pasels or not. Abaye said the machloikis the Gabi Roy Bosom Akiv is the machloikis. That's the machloikis. Reb Zeir, Reb Shimon, Reb Yitzchak. Tanakam and Shehiyah B'Simon Cheni Boilus Oif pasels Ikebenai. That's like the pshat of Rava. Chadama Roy Bosom Akiv Ikebenai. Just like Abaye said. Mechlal the Beinan according to this final pshat that Roy Bosom Akiv. It's mashu from that that when you're going and cutting that first simen, you should also cut away the roiv basar, and that's what caused the shehiyah problem in that final shot. The machloikis between Tanakam and Rebbelezer Reb Shimon. So tomorrow, and you're 100% right. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you got do the malika on simen one. You're supposed to do the roiv basar. And v'atanya b'loshin nichusa. What does it say in the Braisa? Kates and Mokin Chatzas Oif. How do you do the Chatzas Oif? With Chatzas Oif, not the Oif. Here's a Lo Yavdil, you're only doing Simen Echad. Choytech Shedra, Umafarekis, from the back. Beloy Roy Basa, at that moment, no Roy Basa. Achim, a Gielevation of the Kana, until we get to that first Simen. He Gielevation of the Kana, Choytech Simen Echad, Oi Rubai, either the whole or Roy. Veroy Basa Imoy. Ah, so you see the Chatchilla, that's what you're supposed to do. The Roy Basa Betchilla. So we have Takarai to we just said. That's by the Chatzos Oif. With this, we have already brought the rye that we were looking for. But we're now finishing off the price. That's not enough just to do one or roif. You have to do both, because then you're mavdil by the oif. Bottom line is, says the Gemara, we have a machloikis, whether if you're mavdil by Chatzos Oif, the Torah says, loyavdil, if you're mavdil, is it ma'akiv, is it not ma'akiv? Now the Gemara is going to tell us something startling. They just repeated this Kamsishtikal Toyra Terbiyamya. Omar, Loishmilu, didn't you hear? Hadi Amr Shimon ben Eliyakim, Mishnah Rebelozim ben Bedos, Mishnah Rebelozim ben Shemua, your two Rebelozars.
Yeah.
Moira in the name of the Tana. Now we have three Rebelozars together. That's, of course, the son of Reb Shimon by Yechoi. Shemati Bechatas Oiv, Shemavdilin. I heard that you're allowed to be mavdil even lechatchila b'chatzos oif.
There's no problem at all. So if you're mavdil chatzos oif, so it's mutter, it's kosher.
Exactly. Frank Timura, who might liyav b'shteit in the Torah b'chatzos oif lo yavdil. On Malays, he told them ain tzorich lehavdil. When it says liyav, it doesn't mean that you should not be
mavdil. Give it in, you don't have to.
You don't have to. If it's you want to, you might. It's an option. Yeah, it's up to you. You
especially
want to
make sense. It's so hard to maneuver inside that neck.
And especially in the wrong location.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So now the Gemara says, what you're saying, v'loy, means you don't have to. Let me give you an example. Gabi bar. What does it say by a bar? V'chiyiftach ishbar. V'chiyich ishbar. Exactly. So what's Titzuk do? What's the din by bar in the chsib? That if he opened up the bar and he didn't cover it up, and then the shor hamor fell in, you got to go and pay. Hachanami, you're going to learn v'lichan. Hachanami, if you want him, if you don't want him, you don't want him. That's what you're going to learn v'loy. Come on.
You're creating a nezik b'shus harabim.
Everyone hachi hashda. Hosam, the case of the bar kim d'chsib. The next passage says, b'al bar yishalim, ilavei hu d'rami d'chsuyah. Obviously, if we're giving him financial liability that he left the bar open, obviously, when it says v'lichaseno, you got to be mechase. And v'lichaseno means, if you were not mechase, you got to pay. Aval hacha, mechtik, siv in the pasik, v'hikrivoi, chilek ha-kosu bin chatzas oif li oilas oif. We're using this v'hikrivoi as a new drasha, because remember we started today's daf, v'hikrivoi told us you don't have to have two terem ben ayoin, it's enough to have one prey, you don't have to have two prey. But here he's doing v'hikrivoi to be mechalik between chatzas oif and oilas oif. In which respect is being mechalik? Is being mavdil, whether it's a full havdalah or not, whether it's one simon or two simonim. So the Gemara is assuming now that as a result of the hikrivoy, it's telling us sub silentio, it's telling us quietly that chatzas oif the din is no havdalah. Oilas oif ye mavdal, both simonim. And that's the hikrivoy, that's how it being mechalik, and be mavdal, being the chatzas oif, oilas oif. So why does the Torah have to add again loyavdal? We already made a chalik with the hikrivoy. Shema mina, that the pshat loyavdal is not. Don't be mavdil, but in tzarech lahavdil, you don't have to. If you want to, you can. If you don't want, but the oilas oif, you have to be mavdil. When it comes to the chatzas oif, you have a choice, one way or the other, even lechatchila. And therefore, obviously, that's totally different than everything that we've been learning until now, the Tanakamba of our Mishnah, and the blood of Shimon of the Raisa. just finish off the perek. Mitzvah dam aguf. Remember, you have to do the mitzvah dam aguf and the dam of the roish. What happens if you only did one and not the other?
Right.
So we learned in the Mishnah the mitzvah dam of the guf is ma'akev. The mitzvah dam. We're not talking about over here the haktorah. We're talking, or the malika. We're talking about the mitzvah hadam. You got to do two mitzvahs, one from the roish and one from the guf. What happens if you did only one of the two? Tana rabbanan. Oila, the pasuk says it's a carbon oila. Ava bishi mitzvah dam haguf, ali mitzvah dam haroish. It's also a kusher oila, even though you only did one of the two. You did the guf and not the roish. Fait tomorrow, yochel mitzvah dam haroish, ali mitzvah dam haguf. It's also good. In other words, reverse. You only did the dam haroish and not the dam haguf. Tam aloy mer hu. What does it say? Who? It says in the pasuk.
Maybe you'll sum up coin and give us a eshach. That's roish.
This is different than number four.
Yeah.
It's what we call misleading. There's no who in that pasuk. Okay, anyway, they bring the wrong pasuk over here. And they don't want
this is the second time or third time. Well,
no. Okay, so it said the pasuk, who is always, you know, a ma'akiv and bav yossi, who? My Talmud, what's the learning? Amradina mistava, the reidom and begov shchichi. I'll tell you, I'll be swara. There's a major difference between the roish and between the guf. When you're talking about the roish, which only has a small amount of the blood. The guf has much more blood. So therefore, since mitzvah is ma'akev, according to this mandiyama, since mitzvah dam ha'guf is ma'akev, as opposed to the mitzvah dam ha'roish, ha'bilo kodshi kudishim, kodshi kudishim, kodshi kudishim, and we start tomorrow, mi'achim, chata sa'oi, shasalamata, etc. Have a wonderful day, everybody.